Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening here on Blog Talk Radio, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Welcome to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. Greetings to all of you of peace. In the original tongue, in the words of Arabic, As-salamu alaykum. Beloved, I am so excited. There are really no words to capture my spirit this evening, and I think yours is the same. This is a special edition of Elevated Places. This is the post Holy Day of Atonement program. And we have an incredible, incredible discussion lined up for you this evening. And later in the show, we are going to have the first Imam of the Nation of Islam, Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad, and we are going to be joined by a man that Minister Louis Farrakhan referred to at the Holy Day of Atonement as a true disciple of Jesus the Christ, Reverend Dr. Dwayne A. Walker. And we are also going to be joined by Brother Kojo Nantambu, and my co-host, Brother Terrence, will correct me shortly if that was pronounced wrong, another powerful, powerful brother. And we also are joined tonight by two brothers without whom Elevated Places would just not be the same. One is our Elevated Places contributor, our agricultural economist, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and also our co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, who is going to bring so much tonight from the core of the experience at the Day of Atonement in Charlotte, North Carolina. When Minister Farrakhan came out on the stage Sunday, he spent a bit of time talking about how welcome he felt by the city of Charlotte. And I heard him say something that I haven't heard him say about very many places in the 30 years that I've known him. And he said it felt so warm and embracing that it was like as though it should be like a second home. And, of course, we can't take anything Minister Farrakhan says lightly. That was a very, very powerful statement, particularly when you listen to the message that he gave that afternoon. But I can bear witness that when I lived in Atlanta, my husband and I really went back and forth to Charlotte and other cities in North Carolina countless times because it's within driving distance of Atlanta. And there is something very special about that city, something very special about our people in particular. And it's just something how the believers in Charlotte, North Carolina, Brother Kaz, Muhammad, and the other laborers and believers were able to host such a magnificent event that was just overwhelmingly successful on every level. So we're going to take a few minutes before we go into the core of the program, and we want you, our listeners, you are everything to this show. We want you to call in not only to listen, but And the discussion is going to be on two things. We're going to start with the presidential debate that took place Tuesday night. That was a moment in history. And let me first welcome, first of all, my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, who is who lives in Greensboro, North Carolina. So though he's never there, we want to make sure that you all are made aware that he lives in Greensboro and was a very, very key participant in helping making this event happen. So it's good to have you again, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
And also Dr. Ridgely Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum to you, beloved.
Wa alaikum salam.
All right. So we're going to talk briefly about Tuesday night, the presidential debate between President Barack Obama and his opponent, who is challenging him for the Oval Office, Mitt Romney. This is very, very crucial for all of us to pay attention to. So I hope we are not ignoring what is going on. And certainly if you listened to Minister Farrakhan on Sunday, you would know how important it is to pay attention to the events that are taking place. We are not separate from them. This is all a part of Allah's plan. And so it's critical that we use our own analytical abilities to take note of what's happening. And in my humble judgment, Allah God is showing us a great deal that he's manifesting in these debates between Mitt Romney, who is the quintessential wealthy Caucasian male, and the attitudes and expressions that you are able to witness come from him in the course of these debates. And then, of course, on the other side of that, we have the first black president of the United States. So, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, can we get your insight into what you think about the Tuesday night debate?
Dr. Ridgely? Not sure if he dropped off or not. You know, it's funny when you think about the debates. It's almost like you're watching a boxing match because, you know, we saw what happened round one, and he's coming out strong in round two. And, you know, but once again, always comment not necessarily on the actual debates, but what's going on in the community. And particularly in my city, yesterday we had the wonderful and renowned Sheila E. and her father and brother, the Sheila E. family, performed at North Carolina A&T last night. And she's a surrogate for Obama. And one of the things that she spoke about is the heart. You know, she really was speaking about the heart of Obama. And then we had today on campus our brother Farnsworth Bentley promoting this. And I think, you know, as we're watching these debates and what's going on, we're watching, as we've always said, this racial divide, this real clear divide of two minds, you know, two worlds apart. And as these debates will continue and as November 6th gets here, whether, as the minister says, you know, when he, if he retains the presidency, we're going to see this country really, really polarized. And you, as you said, as you're watching and listening to the different views in these debates, you can clearly see these different mindsets that are in our country called America.
Yes, sir. Dr. Ridgely?
Assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Okay, praise be to Allah. Well, he definitely, President Obama, did basically beat down Romney and caught Romney in his lies, and didn't call him a liar, but said that he was saying that which was not true. He did this a number of times, and Romney just kept swinging and falling into these traps with his own mouth, which is basically if you let a liar and somebody who does not have good intent talk long enough and get him emotional, they will make mistakes and expose themselves. And evidently, Romney thought that the seemingly rope-a-dope tactics of Obama in the first round, that he would use them in the second round. But instead, President Obama came out swinging. And there was one statement that President Obama made, among others, that was very telling to me. When Mitt Romney kept interrupting him, he made a statement. You know, he said, "I'm used to being interrupted." Now, for the president of the United States to say he's used to being interrupted, that really lets you know and remember how disrespected he has been as president. No president has been disrespected by members of the House, members of the Senate, news reporters. Nobody has been disrespected like that. So here he is, a black man has finally become president of the United States, but yet he's still treated as the low person on the totem pole, as though he can be spoken down to and interrupted at any time. So it really was a telling truth about America, and that is that no matter who what rank you might think you are, if you are black in America, you are still a black in America.
I agree wholeheartedly. That was a chilling moment when he said that, because his experience in that position should be quite the opposite. And it really, if we paid attention, as you just pointed out, Dr. Rizzi, that debate was a living, real-time microcosm of the slave-master-slave relationship.
Yes.
And the way that Mitt Romney actually invaded the president's personal space.
Yes.
There was a debate rule that came from the debate commission that said the debaters are not to question one another. Now, in the end, they both did that, but Romney was the first to violate it. And what it demonstrates is that sense of entitlement being above any rules that this white ruling class feels entitled to do. Nothing applies to him. He did not have to respect the president. He did not have to respect the moderator. And as a result of that, he continued to get caught and catch himself. He went on self-destruct.
Yeah,
and it just made me think again of a microcosm of America and why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it's the fall of America. And at one point, if you remember when he was basically calling the president a liar on this, when the president said, "I referred to the attack in Benghazi as a terrorist act the day after it happened," and he was challenging him. Romney kept challenging him, and the president basically told him to turn around and stop addressing him. He said, "Proceed, Governor," because the Romney thought he had caught the president in a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another attribute of Satan, Lucifer, the accuser.
Yes.
You know, here you are, the embodiment of falsehood, and you're accusing a truth teller of being a liar, and Obama told him, "Go on and proceed." In other words, keep talking because you're about to walk right off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened. So what we're going to do, we're going to play that clip, and then when we finish the clip, we'll go ahead and take a 60-second break, and then when we come back, we're going to get into the message of the century. I'm just going to say it, I'm not a cult follower, but Farrakhan is the light-giving sun. in our midst.
Go ahead.
You know, he doesn't teach lectures or give sermons. He gives life and
light. Right.
Unbelievable. So let's hear this clip between Romney and the president, because it's a precursor to the confrontation between God's man and Satan himself.
The day after the attack, Governor, I stood in the Rose Garden and I told the American people and the world that we are going to find out exactly what happened, that this was an act of terror, and I also said that we're going to hunt down those who committed this crime. And then a few days later, I was there greeting the caskets coming into Andrews Air Force Base and grieving with the families. And the suggestion that anybody in my team, whether the Secretary of State, our UN ambassador, anybody on my team would play politics or mislead when we've lost four of our own, Governor, is offensive. That's not what we do. That's not what I do as president. That's not what I do as commander-in-chief.
Governor, if you want to reply
quickly, I think it's interesting. The president just said something which is that on the day after the attack, he went to the Rose Garden and said that this was an act of terror. You said in the Rose Garden, the day after the attack, it was an act of terror. It was not a spontaneous demonstration. Is that what you're saying?
Please proceed, Governor.
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did.
Can't get it no louder than that.
Respected journalist from CNN to fact check Romney on the spot.
That's right.
You know, because other than that, they were going back and forth, and she fact checked him, and he just stood there frozen. And the audience had been instructed prior to the debate not to cheer, boo, applaud, but the audience applauded.
Right.
You know, and don't forget what Minister Farrakhan said. He said there is a coalition in this country of black, brown, red, yellow, Jew, Gentile that knows that the president is offering a way to bring this country up out of its condition. So we're going to take a 60-second break. And we're going to leave that, and that moment shows us why we need a divinely guided man among us.
That's right.
Yes.
Because we need someone who is backed by a power above the fray. We'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome back to Elevated Places. We are enjoying ourselves already, and we really haven't. The plane is just sitting on the runway. We're already excited. This is a special edition of Elevated Places. It is the post Holy Day of Atonement show, and now we have listened to and witnessed the message of life and light from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan delivered October the 14th, 2012 in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I am joined by Brother Terrence Muhammad, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, and shortly we're going to also have the privilege of a conversation with the first Imam of the Nation of Islam, our beloved brother Imam Sultan Muhammad. Brother Terrence, you were right there in the middle of everything as always. And we've already got callers lined up, 347-324-5091, who have questions and comments that they're going to inject into the show, both about the debate and the Day of Atonement. But give us briefly some highlights from the Day of Atonement.
Well, you know, our minister is one that is loved, admired, and this weekend it was so powerful. Just the love and respect that the minister got from the people. He initially started at Johnson C. Smith on Friday. He met with the president of the university, and then later had a private meeting with some students, and there were some international students there. They asked questions about the mission of the Nation of Islam, and they was really, really, you know, just getting fed, and they was really captivated by what the minister was saying. And even to the point that the groundskeeper at Johnson C. Smith, the groundskeeper, they just left whatever they were doing on the grounds of the school, and they was there, and they were just taking video, taking pictures while he was talking to the students. And the students were just in awe over the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He had captivated them. And they were just so excited to be there and hear from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, a whole generation that does not know of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but was able to ask him questions and see him. And it led into our Saturday leadership meeting at the church of our brother Dwayne Walker at Little Rock AME Zion Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. And what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, once again, I would say this particular lecture at the leadership meeting is considered one of the classic lectures of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. There's all of his lectures are life-giving, but we all have certain ones that we consider a classic. And at this leadership meeting, formulated of imams, pastors, PR, brothers and sisters from the community and around the state, was in attendance at this leadership meeting, and Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, as he often does, spoke for at least 2 hours without notes. And he even had a point in the lecture where he said he shocked himself at the things that he was saying. And this particular lecture is a lecture that anyone going into leadership must have this. It was a must. It is a must here. And you can go to store.finalcall.com. It will soon be released, and it's something that you must get. And Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan poured out his heart, and one of the things that he said here that he reiterated at the Sunday lecture is that, you know, there has been 3 attempts on his life, and he was near death 3 times, and God brought him back. So death is not something that he even fears.
Right.
So you can try to kill his family. You know, go
right.
kill his family. You're not going to get him to turn from the mission and what Allah has for him to do. So it was guidance to the people of what a leader looks like and what they must stand for and do for the people. And you have to have love for the people. And the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan demonstrated that over and over, as we know, culminating at the Bojangles Arena, Bojangles Coliseum, where the people were just in awe. We had our brother Big Daddy Kane, old school rapper, was there. We had our brother Imam Khalil Akbar from the Masjid in Charlotte, North Carolina, in attendance. And it was once again a powerful lecture. And one of the private meetings or the dinner that the minister had, one of the things he said, you know, he talked about bringing in the research team at the last minute because, you know, at the town hall meeting, he decided to change his address. And he brought in the research team that helped him do it. And he said, yes, the leadership meeting was without notes. And he said he had notes for this Sunday, but he said it just flowed out of him. And he said he didn't even get half of his notes done. And he said the record is worse or more powerful than the first. So I'm waiting to hear what he has for us on Sunday.
That's right.
So the minister is not stopping. He is not resting. He is pushing forward. And before I forget, he's not stopping to the point that he's speaking on this coming Sunday. You can go to NOI.org at 11 a.m. Eastern to hear him. And then he's going to Bowie State next Friday, October the 26th in Maryland. And then on November 2nd, as he was denied to go to Tennessee State in Nashville on the college tour earlier this spring, he will be back at Tennessee State, finally at Tennessee State, November the 2nd. So the minister is not getting older. He is getting younger, and he is doing
it. He really
this.
Is. Mm-hmm.
And he is going out to the community. He is going after our people. So for those that want to be in leadership, you need to take note of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his love and his undying, yielding love for us. And one last point that we have to, and as you have already thanked Brother Cass, Student Secretary, Student Captain Brother James, Student Protocol Sister Paula, and Student Sister Captain Sister Carrie Ann, and the Believers and Charlotte Moss number 36, they did an excellent job of hosting, excellent job of taking care of the Believers. And for those, you cannot top what they did. It will go down in the history of one of the most exciting Holy Day of Atonements, because on that Saturday we had a day in the park where the children had their inflatables and they played. The Believers played volleyball. There was a DJ playing music. Everybody even actually got out there and did a Cuban shuffle or the electric slide. But it was a joyous time, and we talk about separation. You saw the Believers loving one another and spending time with one another, and a place where the minister wasn't scheduled to come. He just wanted to come out and see the Believers, and he came out with Mother Khadijah, and they came out to see the Believers, and the Believers were so happy to see the minister. So it was just a beautiful, beautiful weekend. The weather was great, and Allah blessed him with a wonderful spirit. And it was just a joyous time for all those that can get the lectures by the minister. I would advise you please to get it and
yes,
stay
sir.
Till part two.
Yes, sir. Thank you for that summary.
That's
something
right.
that I know is hard to describe. And before we proceed any further, I want to have this brother join the conversation, and we're going to start taking calls. We have callers who want to talk about both the Holy Day of Atonement and the presidential debate. And, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that there are no coincidences. And so the fact that the minister spoke on Sunday in the midst of these debates and offered the president some instruction on how to handle his
That's
opponent.
Right.
Trust and believe the president hears what the minister says. It may not be known beyond him and Michelle or a few people, but trust and believe. Why do I say that? Because anytime a man's name is put in front of your face as you seek the highest office in the land and on national television, you are forced to distance and denounce this brother who you know to be a champion freedom fighter. And you know that you have listened to him over the years. You know that you stood among that blessed gathering of 2 million black men in 1995, and you listened to Minister Farrakhan. And on that day, the ceiling was lifted by Allah God from your own mind, and you saw that day a vision of yourself attaining the highest office in the land, and you are made to distance yourself. Trust and believe he's on that man's mind. And he still continues to listen to him. And he came out like the minister said to come out. He came
That's
out
right.
fighting.
That's
but
right.
Our beloved brother, who I happen to have been blessed to be acquainted with, and that is our brother Sultan Muhammad, I don't think anywhere you go in life you would meet a more humble human being
right.
than this brother. And I want to bring him on because he is the first imam
That's right.
of the Nation of Islam. And
right.
I'm going to ask him to explain the difference between imam and minister, because when we say first imam, you all may think, well, you already have a bunch of those. No, we don't. this is our first, and he has a very powerful spiritual as well as genetic history. And so I want to first welcome you, Brother Sultan Muhammad. It is such a pleasure to have you join us on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. It's a pleasure to be on and really an honor as well to have an opportunity to speak to you and the believers. Thank you. Thank
yes,
you very
sir.
Much.
Yes, sir. Brother Sultan, would you share with us a little bit? Many of our listeners know, but many don't. What your family history is, and we know that I can say you're on the faculty, of course, at Muhammad University of Islam in Chicago. You are fluent in the Arabic language, and you're spiritually fluent. I just love your presence. And the way you bring a calm and quiet wherever you go. But can you just talk a little bit about your family background?
Yes, ma'am. This is very humbling. I first want to thank you again for the opportunity to come on the line and share with the believers. It is an opportunity to reach out for many of the believers across the country. I have still and am beginning to meet. My personal background is, yes, I am a great-grandchild of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. My grandfather was one of his sons, Jabir Herbert Muhammad, who was the former professional manager and personal manager of Muhammad Ali, a three-time heavyweight champion and now world icon, praise to Allah.
Yeah.
This is on my father's side. My mother's side, I am a grandchild of Imam Hussein, Mustafa Hussein out of Pittsburgh. He was a captain in Detroit. He came into the Nation of Islam, his brother Robert III, as a captain, and he was appointed there to Pittsburgh as the first minister to raise our temple there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And he, for many, many years, was married to my grandmother, Dorothy Davenport, who became a captain in Pittsburgh as well. Helping to establish the first routings of Pittsburgh Courier. So there, praise be to Allah, on both sides of his family, we have
yes.
in the Nation of Islam. And it is, again, a privilege and a humbling history, you know, to really see what the sacrifices were that my lineage has offered for what we have here today. So it is a blessing, and inshallah, I pray to Allah that I may offer what I may as part of that legacy.
You have a very powerful family history, and I know that can sometimes send a child in one direction or the other, the pressure of the expectations. And, you know, you, of course, and this, I'm just one person. I'm sure there are many views of your role that Minister Farrakhan assigned you recently as imam, the reconciliation of all the different scattered parts of the Muslim world, and the return of our people to our original tongue. And this is why I have such admiration for you, in that you are fluent yourself in Arabic, and you are a teacher of this language to our children. And no matter how eloquent we become, or no matter how masterful we become of the English language, the English language has no capability. It's a grafted language. There is no such thing as English ever having the capacity to allow us to truly express the greatness and power of Allah, and to really truly be ourselves. And so it is just great for us as a people, and to have you in the nation at this time. You know, as your great grandfather said, there are no coincidences. And so we want you to come in and join this discussion, and we want the callers to know that Imam Sultan Muhammad is on the line with us. And you conducted Juma prayer, I understand, in Charlotte.
Yes, ma'am. You know, you mentioned the opportunity through this the institution of this post by the minister. I mean, I thank Allah tremendously for his spiritual guidance in a way that, you know, we really have yet to foresee. At least I personally have yet to wrap my thoughts fully around. You know, I think many of us are aware that, you know, as you mentioned, this, you know, this is the first time we've had such a post, something that I very much did not expect, working as an administrator there and an instructor at Muhammad University of Islam. So this is really offering us an opportunity on a world stage, and also internally an opportunity to deepen our knowledge, as you mentioned, of self. There's much that, inshallah, will be offered, and I think I would like to make a call to the believers that first, you know, we must establish our prayers in our original language. We must own what is ours and not give away anything to what we feel has been a whipping stick of racism from our Arab brothers and sisters. This prayer is ours. This language is ours. We are working very diligently to instill this language in our children here as a first language. I am still a student of this language, Arabic. It is, as Sister said eloquently, it is a vast language with a vast lexicon, a very mathematical grammar structure. And when we speak in our lessons, you know, we talk about the mathematical language. Arabic itself is definitely that. Again, I thank you for the opportunity, and we, again, must own this. My father was self-taught in Arabic. He was my first teacher. And we must, inshallah, just put ourselves to the test and go for what is ours.
Wonderful. Well said. Well said. Well, we're going to go to the lines, because we have a lot of callers that want to join this discussion. And we're going to start with, and they want to comment both on the Holy Day of Atonement and the debate. And so I invite our panel, Brother Sultan, Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, to just feel free. It's an informal talk show. Just feel free to respond. So we have Justin Jordan on the line with a question and a comment. Welcome to Elevated Places, Brother Justin.
How are you doing? It's a pleasure to be on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you.
I've got a statement followed by a quick question.
Of course.
I'm not a registered member of the Nation of Islam, but I've been to a mosque, and I met someone that kind of introduced me to a couple of new concepts and things that have opened my mind. I watched a webcast with Farrakhan on the Nation of Islam, Islam's webpage, and after the speech, I was kind of looking for a place on the webpage where people who wanted to do for self, you know, those individuals, maybe young professionals like myself or people with small businesses would go and could meet up, you know, a forum or a platform that these people can communicate easily and kind of recycle our funds with one another. And I didn't quite find anything like that on the site, and I was wondering if the Nation of Islam had any kind of a platform or a place like that for people like myself who are looking for like individuals in our area to do for self and recycle our funds in our community.
That's really timely. And Dr. Ridge, I know you have something to say in response to that. Beautiful question.
Yes, and I think that the brother represents a feeling among our people that we now need to get like-minded together and do something. So we have started that with Brother Louis Ali and the Hot Black Coffee Club that he invited me to in Louisiana just recently. And that was a continuation of the local organizing committee that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan set up at the first Million Man March, set up to, in fact, develop that strategy for that march. So what we would like to do is to reinvigorate that, and that would allow people who are both in the nation and not registered can work together and learn about each other's skills and the direction that they feel that we should go and begin to develop relationships that will develop into multi-billion-dollar businesses for the future. So, yes, brother, I feel you, and we are working on that, but we have to work at a faster pace. Hopefully we'll have a website up soon that will help to do that type of coordination and interfacing. So thank you very much, brother, but you're right. We have to do a better job at getting our people together.
And what I'm doing, Brother Justin, I'm taking your number off the switchboard, and with your permission, I'll give it to Dr. Ridgely off the air. Because he's our chief agricultural economist, and we're working with professionals, we're working with tradespeople. The minister will be delivering his economic blueprint message based on the program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And if you heard the lecture that he delivered October 14th, that is your question. It coincides. It's not coincidental, but the time of it is right at this moment of our move to independence. We've pretty much exhausted the message. It can't be delivered any more clearly or plainly than it has. And so those who are ready for self-sufficiency are calling, as you just did, for action. And so I will have Dr. Ridge get in touch with you, and thank you so much, Brother Justin.
Well, thank you.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have Brother Malik, who has a comment. He has a comment about the presidential debate. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, walaikum salam, Dr. Ava.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
How you doing, Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence? Assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum salam, sir.
All right. Yeah, I was, when I was observing the debate, you know, I never forget and always keep in mind the Zionist control behind these events. And if you go back to 2008, this is my observation, that they carefully select the people that are going to, that went up against Obama. Like, they picked this old white man, McCain, who pretty much couldn't keep up with him because he was very fast.
Right.
You know, Obama was great. And then they put this goofy white girl slash governor. but you got to look at the game, you know.
Wow.
That, to me, they set that up knowing Obama would destroy them, you know what I'm saying? And, of course, you know, black people rolled in on that. White folks' feelings was hurt. Because I was in the South when that happened, when Obama won. And, you might know that too, Dr. Richards. I mean, I could feel the tension down there with them white people. And, well, I was in Georgia.
Yes.
And when I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing the same thing play out right here. Like, Mitt Romney, they cleverly got Ron Paul out the way. Because he's clearly not 100% Israel, number one.
Right.
He's definitely not 100% the Federal Reserve.
That's right.
And he started, in fact, the minister was that, you know, he spoke highly of brother, I mean, not even say brother, but, you know, he spoke highly of Ron Paul.
Yes, he did.
They clearly moved him out the way. And now they put this tired, worn out white person. I mean, you know, he's the old, even the younger generation of whites and can't really connect to Mitt Romney. You know what I'm saying? And so I can see the design in this, you know what I'm saying? I think that they really set that up, knowing Barack was really, knowing that this guy would just come out here and pretty much promote white supremacy in another way, and Barack would be able to counter that because he couldn't do nothing but come out there and lie. So what I'm saying, what I look at is, this is still Zionist games, you know? And this is still the same game. You know, nothing has changed. You know, and Barack could get in there, and I think – what I study about the Zionists is that they want white people to really be angry if a Barack is in there. That's what I believe they're really planning, because he came out there, he made them, you know, he beat up their hero. There's a lot of white people, man, that don't, you know, I mean, 57 million white people voted for McCain. So, you know, that white supremacy is still out there. And if he wins, you know what I'm saying, I think that's really setting the country up for more racial problem, you know what I'm saying, down the line.
And then
with the Zionists are now moving, because you know the deficit still went up with Barack in there. It's already up $15 trillion. It was $10 trillion when Bush left. It's 15. So the same game, $15 trillion. That same game is going. And I was looking online that the CEOs of the banks are now threatening Congress. Go look it up on Yahoo Finance. That if they don't get their fiscal game together, they told Barack that you're gonna have problems. So I'm thinking now that they're moving now to put this country to really sink the dollar down, throw this mess on Obama, make white folks totally upset, and then set that brother up to be actually killed. Because there's a movie out that came out in 2005 called The Last Kennedy. Get that movie. It was about a black man that was a president, and he was assassinated. And this came out before Barack Obama was even elected. This is 2005. Go check it out.
Yes,
so I'm just putting that out there, you know, to kind of, you know, I don't go with all this hoopla. I ain't with all that. I know the game, you know what I'm saying? So I want to stay focused. I know the minutes are going to bring that heat, you know what I'm saying, to keep us on track. Because, see, I think this Barack thing has really been an eight-year distraction. While we should have been building up the Mayor's War movement and doing all the big international things that civilized, grown people do, we sit up here, you got to deal with Barack and saving his life. Over, you know, because that's what the minister is doing. He's working night and day to save his brother's life because he know what they're planning.
Yes, sir. But
you know what?
You know what it does, though, because as the Quran reads, they plan and Allah plans, and Allah is the best of planners. And as we were discussing earlier, our people needed to see and feel the futility of trying to integrate and assimilate into white society. And Dr. Ridge and I were talking about that earlier today, that prior to the Oval Office, we were caught up in thinking that if we could just achieve more. You know, we started out just looking for relief from the plantation and the suffering of chattel slavery. Then we needed relief from the lynching and torture and the suffering of Jim Crow. And then we started thinking, well, if we're educated, if we become teachers and librarians and managers of companies, then they'll accept us. Oh, let's get a congressman here and there. And now, finally, we go as high as you can go in the Caucasian reality, which is the Oval Office. And what has happened to us, as you just pointed out, we're in worse shape than we've ever been. The stock market and the wealthy, their wealth has increased under Barack Obama.
Right.
They are richer than they were 4 years ago. So they don't have any business in an oligarchy being angry at Barack Obama. He should be wealthy people's best friend, but the minister said it's Sunday. Wealthy people do not permit discussion of poor people because they're the blood suckers of the poor. So you hear no mention whatsoever in this campaign of poor people. You keep hearing about how everything starts in the middle. How can something start in the middle when the middle, by definition, comes after the beginning and before the end?
Yes,
right.
So we're in like this Alice in Wonderland, like you're saying. It's madness, but we need to witness the madness.
Yeah. Come on.
You see what I'm saying? We have to see how crazy we are persist in trying to push up in this thing.
Right.
So, you know, you're right on it. We have to stay focused. You're right on it.
Right. Yeah, you're right on something like me. You're right on it, brother. And the fact that you can see the game, there are a lot of other people now who are becoming to see the game. And when we, enough of us, see the game, we'll pull out of the crooked game and set up something real for ourselves instead of trying to play. I call it playing poker, and it's four people playing, and three of them is in cahoots. And you're the only one out there by yourself.
Right.
And that's the way it's been for us in America. And this is obvious game. So we need to pull out of this game and set up a new reality for ourselves and then show this reality to the rest of the world.
And look at the minister. Look what the minister dropped. He said, this is our country.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said the possessive pronoun our.
Yes.
So he went another step on Sunday, if we were paying attention. And so now it's a face-off. See, the Obama-Romney confrontation is like a precursor. It's like the opening act before Michael Jackson or Prince comes out. You know, you got the little, you know, local people, you know, that get on the stage, but they're not the real power of the night. And the minister is the true voice. He's the expression of Allah's will for the hour, for all of humanity. And he's saying, you know, we're not coming out here talking about we would like to have a seat at the party. Mm-hmm. He's saying we own the house.
Right.
Because we built
word.
It.
That's right.
Yeah. So thank you for that, Brother Malik. I mean, you know, thank you. I mean, and you said 2005 is called the last Kennedy.
Yep, the last Kennedy. Check it out.
The last Kennedy. So we need to check that out. And remember, the minister laid out at Savior's Day 2012 with a PowerPoint presentation. He showed how all of this, these threats and these slurs against the president and his wife and his children.
Yes.
You know, people, and as the minister said, these are not some yahoos from the backwoods. These are elected officials. These are wealthy business people. Romney's son, one of his sons, said yesterday, some cracker, I'm sorry, somebody asked him, how did it feel to have the president of the United States call your father a liar? Which he didn't call him a liar, just as Dr. Ridgey said. He pointed out the falsehood.
Right.
You know, but the son, Romney's son, said, I wanted to run up on, now listen at this, I wanted to run up on the stage and take a swing at him.
He did, yeah.
Okay.
There it is,
what you just said. Yeah. He said, and look at this, but there were too many Secret Service.
Look at that, yeah.
So in other words, I don't have any respect for this nigga, okay?
Come on.
But I didn't want to get, I didn't want to get jacked up by the Secret Service. Otherwise, I would have ran down there and hit him in his face.
That's right. Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
White supremacy at its fullest.
Right. So getting in the Oval Office, Allah is showing us, is not going to change a thing.
Oh, and so I'm like, one other thing, too. You know, the minister mentioned about a secret meeting that Newt Gingrich and Paul Ryan had the night of his inauguration.
That's right.
And basically said that theirs will be obstructionist. In other words, they will go sink the American economy Obama look bad. Now, that's treasonous. These are people who are supposed to be working. These are Ryan, now he's trying to be the vice president. He was in the House, and he had other representatives and senators sitting down to plot against their own president and the people of the country.
Yeah,
the
they're ready to.
Bad.
Right, that's the kicker, their own people, as they like to say.
That's right.
About other his estate. They're taking down their own people. But thank you so much. We're going to move on. We've got Sister Peggy, and she has a comment and a question. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Peggy.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Dr. Ava. And assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Ridgely.
Assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, Imam Rahman. And and this comment is for all of you, and then the question is too, but especially Imam Rahman. You know, from my perspective, the Million Man March was all about the Honorable Louis Farrakhan using his special gifts and talents for the benefit of our people. But over the succeeding 17 years, it was about the rest of us. Now, the four of you, obviously, especially Imam Rahman, from what I heard you say about both sides of your family, that you have some very special gifts and talents, both of a spiritual and an activist nature, which I think is an effective formula for freedom, justice, and equality, and that's why I'm in the nation. But do you ever surprise yourselves with what you accomplish based on your gifts and talents?
Great, Brother Rahman.
Yes. Thank you for your question and statement, ma'am. I really appreciate your insight and the need for activism. You know, one of the issues that we're facing right now with many of the mosques, masajid, under various imams and church leaders for that fact, and most of the masses of religion are complacent and in the churches, happy with tithing, happy with charities, zakat, and not in the streets actively pursuing the issues that are facing the community. This has been an issue for some time among the Muslim community. As a youth growing up, I had opportunity to really see, as a son of an imam myself, my father was an imam there in Washington, D.C., for several years as an activist. He also worked in the communities of fighting poverty and fighting for issues of education and others. But what we found over the years in the rush at the turn of the century here to build mosques and masjids, we saw nearly 2,000 masjids constructed, yet many opportunities to build institutions were passed. The youth became more estranged from the mosque, and we found that the majority of the Muslim community in the United States
were not, quote, mosque or masjid going, that you found more of the attendance of the mosque and masjid being of a ritual nature and not actively pursuing the needs of the communities. So the youth became estranged, and therefore the position of imam and this name imam became something more symbolic and part of a clergy society that had been removed. But after 9/11, you found many of the Muslim communities trying to activate the mosques and masjids in the need to want to join in and make themselves known as part of the society. Of course, to much of the Muslim world's backtrack, being very apologetic from a sense here in the United States, apologizing for much of what has been happening with foreign policy from this country for many years. So there's a need at this point for activists in the masjids to come out and speak truth to power. We have a tremendous guide in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who has made this part of his legacy. And the reality is, as he's standing true to the way of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as the chief of those who have spoken to truth, spoken truth to power in our time. And this is the way of Muhammad, on him be peace. He has stated in his own hadith that it is jihad to speak truth to the power. And we should find ourselves as members of our community, as members of our masjids and mosques, actively fighting for our liberation. And this is part of the sunnah, the separation. We won't find in this society what we think we will need to survive at their hands. Prophet Muhammad, on him be peace, took the Muslim community from Mecca, separating from the society of Jahiliyyah, to establish a new community, a new economy, and a new principle that would represent Islam and take Islam into the future as a world power. So I thank you for your question, and inshallah, if there's others that would like to respond, please.
Well done.
Well done.
Yes, thank you so much.
So
I
would
you.
Like to say on
yes,
one
sir.
Issue, yes, I am many times surprised that I've been of any service or use to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because I realize how dumb I am. But you just have to pray and study and say, look, I just want to help. And if something comes out good, you say, all praise is due to Allah. And if something doesn't come out good, you say, well, I got to do better and stop making these mistakes. But, you know, we have no right to get in the way of ourselves, because not only do we not know who we are as a people, we definitely do not know who we are as an individual in the eyes of Allah. So we just have to pray and work hard and pray for guidance from Allah and His Christ,
right,
and just move forward.
That, yeah, well said. Yes, sir. We've got we're going to take a few more calls. We have a whole lot of people that are participating, which is wonderful. Brother Adrian is on with a comment. Welcome to Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Adrian.
Alaykum salam, ma'am, and assalamu alaikum to all your guests. I would like to offer, I have an internet radio show that goes through an electronic service where we reach over 250,000 people and growing in the Gulf Coast region. And we would like to facilitate to let people know through our database what you all are doing for those who are owning land, trying to grow businesses and things like that. I would like to relate and offer those services to you all.
Well, praise is due to Allah. So I'm writing your number down as well.
Great.
So we can include, we will give that to Dr. Rizzi off the air. This is so wonderful. I'm excited because that's one of the main purposes of this show in the first place. And, you know, a small, tiny effort to help follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's direction after his spiritual father, that we pursue pooling our resources. So thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Adrian. And then we have Sister Carol, and she has a comment on President Obama and also on Imam Sultan's position. Sister, your mic open. Walaikum salam.
It's Sister Carol.
Oh, good. It's not showing that your mic is open. Oh, here it is. Welcome. Praise be to Allah.
Thank you for taking my call, Sister
Doc.
Yes,
ma'am.
I would like to just say to Brother Imam Sultan, I hope I'm saying it right, that I believe that that installation is breathing life into the statement that the messenger has made, or the exalted Christ made to Minister Farrakhan, through you, brother, I will get all of my people. And for me, it began back when you were installed as a minister, a sister minister, Sister Ava. And I said, wow, because I'd asked the question of Minister Troy B.R. in Miami, do you think the minister will ever put a sister as a minister? And shortly after that, the minister announced it, and he said, Sister Carol, there's your answer. So, and with the naming of Mas Maryam. So I just want to say I'm very happy about that. And as far as the president and the debate, when the minister termed Barack as a she-camel and in the statement, see, I started seeing this thing as if Obama wins, okay, if Obama wins, that means Allah is giving us four more years to get it together. If he doesn't win, then Allah says that's it, because if Romney goes in there, the jig is up anyway. So when the minister said that he was a she-camel, then that made me know that that was correct, and also that he is the she-camel. So it is, like you say, Dr. Ava, it's something that we need to really study, and because this thing, Allah is letting it play all the way out.
That's right.
So that, you know, those family members that you can't convince, they have to see it. They have to see it go all the way out, and then they'll be convinced.
That's right.
My
That's
throat
right.
is patchy, but I just wanted to say that. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, and thank you for a beautiful call. Appreciate it. And we've had Brother Seven Truth has been on for quite a while. I think we lost him, and he's back. So let me make sure I get his mic open. Brother Seven.
As-salamu alaykum. As-salamu alaykum. Praise be to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Ridgely. I am so happy to be able to speak and say something again. I've been listening for weeks. I just want to start by saying all praise is due to Allah for his intervention in our affairs and for his raising up the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, our exalted Christ, and leaving us as a reminder, a warner, in the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. This past Holy Day of Atonement, I got to spend time in Charlotte, and I happened to be at the park on Saturday, and I kept hearing rumors that Mother Khadija Farrakhan was going to, you know, make a surprise entrance and so on. And out of nowhere, I ended up not only taking a picture with Minister Ishmael Muhammad, I got to see Mustafa Farrakhan, and I'm like, okay, he's here. And then this big surge of crowd was coming, and I mean, the minister, almost 80 years old, the man moves at an amazing speed. I couldn't even get a picture of him. until he finally was able to, he had a seat and he was sitting down under the tent, and some young lady was called to go closer to meet the minister. So I ended up handing her my camera, and I said, could you please just get one picture? It ended up that Joshua Farrakhan ended up with my cell phone and was taking, I mean, the most exclusive, beautiful pictures of Minister Farrakhan, Mother Khadijah, and Sister Tynetta, Mother Tynetta Mahan. Oh, my God. I was blew away. And then when he gave me the camera back, I got a picture of Joshua giving me the thumbs up. He got it for me. All praises due to Allah. Sunday I got to see one of the most electrifying messages, and I do miss you, Minister Ava. It's been a long time since I've seen you. Thank you,
aww,
Dr. Ridgely, for taking a picture with me, and I finally got to meet him. That was me that got to take the picture, and I finally met you. And I was able to support my illustrious brothers of the Allah team, Dr. Wesley Muhammad, Brother Wakil, and just want to say praise be to my brother Ugod Allah, who is listening from mosque number 15. And thank you. And
Assalamu
alaikum, family.
Alaikum salam, beloved. What a beautiful, beautiful spirit.
Yes. Are you there, Sister Ava?
Yeah, can anyone hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I've been having a terrible time with my landline, and I switched over to the cell phone, but it looked as though my I thought I cut everyone off because my landline hung up.
Oh, okay.
But as long as we're all on, we're good to go.
Yes.
Yeah, that was that was a wonderful call from Brother Seven Truth.
That's right.
Yes. And I'm glad to hear that there are a number of people who are listening to the program. And like the brother mentioned about us getting you out and this program out to a wider audience and getting more participation so that we can find out what we really have. And we do have a whole lot in our people.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And, of course, we're winding down. The time, those 90 minutes go by very quickly, and we just have a little over 15 minutes left. So I do want to get to one of my favorite callers, Dr. Salam. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Elevated Places, Dr. Salam.
Thank you. Wa alaikum salam. Assalamu alaikum, family. I'm just really full after this past weekend, and Dr. Ava, you said something that really pricked my conscience, and I'm going to not say what I was going to say, but you really brought something to me. When you really look at it, here is a black president of the United States of America. He, to them, is not supposed to speak with equal intelligence with one of their own. That's in their mind. Nothing has changed, let alone raise his voice. When he raised his voice, Romney kind of backed up. And what our people must see, as much as things has changed, it stayed very much the same, truthfully.
That's right.
One thing about the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, they have not been able to duplicate anything that he has done.
Right.
If you remember, shortly after the Million Man March, there was a white man's march.
Come on.
Right. The promise
keepers. And barely got 400,000.
Right.
Then the Pope came with the Pope Mobile.
Wow.
And they had to pretty much prop him up in the Pope Mobile, trying to keep him here until he got a million people. That failed. And then the white women went up there. That failed. nothing they've done. But what the unique thing about this whole thing is that 85% or at least 80% of those who were there were Christians. So this muezzin called the unlike, and the unlike came as well as the like. They see a prophet in this man, and when he speaks the truth, it frightens them, but it also frightens our people, because
yes.
our people doesn't understand the value of separation. And they really, really, I had a brother tell me just the other day, he said, I heard a little bit of that because my brother is studying what you're all studying. But these are his words. If I listen to them, Brother Salam, they won't like me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll leave on that note.
Wow.
Thank and that's
you.
The man of our people.
Ooh.
Thank you.
My God. Thank you. Well, alaikum salam, mm-hmm. sir. See that, you know, Dr. Salam's revelation that he shared with us, it goes back to my point about how Allah is showing us things. And
right.
he says in the Quran, if it's under a rock, I will bring it forth. And he is really putting out in the light this slave-master-slave relationship.
That's right.
And the bizarre, unsustainable nature of it. It can't continue. No matter how many Negroes like it, no matter how many white folks like it, it's over. It's got to stop. Brother Hoyle has been on for quite some time. Let me take a call. He's also in the same area as Dr. Salam. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hoyle.
Walaikum salam, my sister, and assalamu alaikum to your panel, Dr. Ridgely, Terrence, and I want to especially congratulate Brother Sultan Rahman for being
yes.
a Iman. And this is very beautiful and very timely because, you know, a lot of our people that are converting to Islam, you know, they have questions, especially
mm-hmm.
and especially a lot of our African immigrants
yes.
that come over here and they ask me, you know, because I work at the airport and I deal with a lot of Somalia. Arabs, West African, East African, and they would ask us, you know, why we, you know, about Juma, and this is beautiful because even our people want to know more about Islam, and this will, Mr. Farrakhan said he's going to unite the whole world through you, we get all of the world, but, and I just want to congratulate him. This is, so Nasser Muhammad's in charge of all of this.
That's right.
You were talking about the, election and this whole debate deal. Mr. Farrakhan said this is massive civility is coming off, and this is we're being shown this, especially Sister Ava. You mentioned Tag, was it in Tag Romney? Now,
yes.
That was me who said that I'd be locked up, you know,
absolutely,
or any other person, but you know, that's a threat, you know, that's a threat. But
we
got to go back to Savior's Day 2012, a minister. Broke it down, you know, the Zionists, certain Israeli people that were making innuendos towards that. But that brother, that brought that film up. I'm going to look that up, The Last Kennedy.
Brother Malley. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the minister said that the white man put a lot of information through movies, you know, go back to Independence Day. And they put a lot of stuff out through Hollywood. But this is really, you know, Master Farah Muhammad's controlling it, and all we got to do is be on the right side and warn our people, you know, what is the duty of a civilized person to teach uncivilized? And, you know, we got to get out here and let our people know. And like I said, the solution is separation. A lot of our people, you know, they're coming to see this, but he has to show Master Farah Muhammad has to show these people their true nature. And this massive civility has to come off because, I mean, it's like he said, he warned us, if a Barack Obama wins, don't be out here celebrating. So
That's right.
I just want to, I know this time's winding down, but, you know, like I said, listen, audience, this Sunday, 10 o'clock Central or whatever time it is, here in Minnesota Fire Time, and thank you all for a great job. I'm going to get off the phone and let somebody else talk. May Allah bless you all. As-salamu alaykum.
Well, alaykum salam, sir, and thank you so much for your work and for the insightful calls that you always bring to Elevated Places. Really appreciate it. And, you know, Brother Sultan said earlier, right in conjunction with Minister Farrakhan saying this is our country, I love what you said, Brother Sultan, Imam Sultan, that Arabic is our language. Islam is our religion. We have to claim what is ours. That is really the essence of the hour, is the reclamation of what is ours. We are the true children of Israel. And so now we are coming forward. We have already begun to take back our names.
That's right.
We've begun to take back our culture, our religion, and now we have to take back our language. As we move forward in this great exodus, and I love what the minister said Sunday about this, about us building it, because as I've been saying recently, with the FOI going out into the black communities all over America in the midst of violence to touch the hand of our suffering people, led by Minister Farrakhan, that I've been saying lately, we tend to look at separation always from the perspective of us going somewhere.
Come on.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that.
That's right.
You know, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan debated with Daniel Moynihan, Senator Daniel Moynihan, years and years and years ago, up at Harvard University. And he told Moynihan, who was a proponent of birth control for black people, the minister told Moynihan, you don't have to worry about birth control for us. Just give us our own separate territory, as my teacher is saying. We want separation from you. And the minister said he was pleased with what he had said, and he was sharing with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad what he had told Daniel Moynihan. And he said to the messenger, I told him, dear apostle, that we will go out. We just want our own territory here in America. We'll go out and clear the underbrush. We'll build it from the ground up. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, hold it, brother. You were doing good until you started saying that. He said, don't you ever tell a white man that we're going to dig out some underbrush or build anything. We already did that. Mm-hmm. And we're not going backwards. And he said, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told him, you tell this white man, you get out of some of these cities that we built and go live in the other cities.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard Minister Farrakhan Sunday, it just gave me chill bumps. Because I thought about that separation is a two-way street. Somebody goes, but somebody's standing there saying, you need to get out.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the earth is a wide expanse.
That's right. Let them all move to Montana.
Exactly. Oh, my God. Wyoming is practically empty.
Empty. It's empty.
You know, so we really are blessed, all of us, to be alive in this hour. And we just need to open our eyes, minds, and heart and be as patient as we can with one another, because we are about to embark on the great exodus
that was
prophesied in the Bible and the Quran. So we're down to about 5 minutes left.
As the favor.
I do. Yeah.
Can I want to say one thing?
Yeah, I want to just.
Of course.
Yep.
Well, okay, I got a chance. You go first, and I go second.
Yeah, before I jump in, the reason why I want to cut in is our pastor, Dr. Dwayne Walker, he was in a meeting. He just text me to let me know he apologized for not being on, but he did. I want to let everybody know, I want to thank him, put on record for opening up his church for the leadership meeting this past Saturday, and also to Pastor Warren and his church, because she also opened the church to us on Sunday for the minister to have his dinner. So they was open arms, and it was very accommodating to us. And so we thank our brother Dwayne Walker for locating that Little Rock AME Zion Church for our Holy Day of Atonement, and also the church where the minister spoke 2005 as the minister was going on tour preparing for the Millions More movement. He wasn't able to call because he was in a meeting, but he wanted to let us know. He apologized.
Thank you. Dr. Ridgely, you were about to comment?
Yes. We were talking about Minister Farrakhan. His presentation was a game changer. And one of the things that he did was when he mentioned about the threats to his life and his family, he said, kill them all. And then the family jumped up out of their seat and came and stood with the minister and said, as the minister said, because we were born to die for our people. Now, the enemy, we should get that video and spread it all in our community, because the enemy does not want black people to see a black family that is willing to die for them. And this is what we have in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and his family. These are, in fact, the royal family representing the life of our people. So that was a game changer.
That's a very important point, because you're right. The self-acceptance of black people is so low.
That's right.
That it's a shock to the brain that someone would lay, and not just someone, but someone of Minister Farrakhan's caliber, which is singular. I mean, he doesn't have a peer. And
right.
And as you said, with his wife and his offspring, who really could have a very lavish existence and live without interference if the minister had gone down the path of the road to entertainment. Because the minister was on he was a rising star in the entertainment world when he came in the Nation of Islam. And so they could have had a very lavish sort of Hollywood celebrity existence and just, we're all about us and call it a day. And so when someone like that says, well, we will throw all that away for you, that is such a great way to end this evening, Brother Dr. Ridgely, that video and that excerpt from it, we've got to get that out across the land. Very powerful. Imam Sultan Muhammad, we are just so proud of you. We are so humbled by the minister's appointment of you and what it signifies. And we thank you for taking time out. I know you have a full plate. The audience should know, Brother Sultan and his family and many of the believers are working together. They have been publishing table talks of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad that enable us both through audio and the written word actually have access to the pearls of wisdom that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad shared at his dinner table at the National House. And so we're thankful for that. And, of course,
I think you was breaking up, Sister Ava, but I know you want to thank the Elevated Places team, Sister Rona, Brother Bobby, Sister LaDonna. And as we wait for her to come back on, we want to have everybody come back to the Elevated Places on next week as we go over part two of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan lecture as he presents this Sunday at 11 a.m. And you can go, that's Eastern time, 10 a.m. Central time, and that's NOI.org to see part two of the Holy Day of Atonement address that he will be delivering at Mas Maryam this Sunday. So we thank all those that are on the call. We thank Brother Imam. Thank you, Dr. Ridgely. And on behalf of our sister, Dr. Ava Muhammad, thank you for listening to Elevated Places, and we'll wait to hear from you.